Welcome and thank you to the What Your Customer Should Know About the 2009 X-Force Threat Report. Today's conference is being recorded, and I will now turn the meeting over to Mr. Dan Holden. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you very much. This is an overview of the material in the 2009 IBM X-Force Trend and Risk Report. This is produced by X-Force on a biannual basis. And this presentation was put together by Juan Gui McKelvey, our X-Force Product Marketing Manager. What I'm going to do is kind of walk you through the highlights. I'm not going to read every single line or aspect here, but kind of give you the key takeaways for what you really need to know and how to leverage this report with your customers. So we're going to move to slide two here, and you can see some background information about IBM X-Force, what our mission statement is, in researching and evaluating threats. We follow that up with security content, new technologies, and this report is a large portion of some of our thought leadership and communications to the industry and our customer base. You can see we've got several large research projects, over 10 billion analyzed web pages and images, generally considered the second largest web crawler, second only to Google. We have a large managed services offering that gives us a lot of insight into the daily threat landscape. So it's not just our own research, but also data and information that we're getting from our customers as well. 40 million spam and phishing and over 48,000 documented vulnerabilities in the X-Force database, which is the world's largest and oldest vulnerability database. The key thing about this report versus a lot of our competitors and other vendors out there is that we try and cover the entire threat landscape. Many vendors are a bit myopic in what they look at. It generally comes down to what they're good at selling, and they tend to look at malware and web spam. But we really try and look at the overall threat landscape and how these different aspects of the threat landscape are converging and interacting. So we do cover vulnerabilities, malware, spam phishing, malicious URLs, and any new trends that might have come up over the 6 month to 12 month time period. Moving to slide three, you can see this is a bit of a summary of the report, so I'm not really going to cover this. So we'll move on to slide four, which is all about vulnerabilities, something that X-Force spends a lot of our time looking at, analyzing, and even discovering. You can see since 06, there's been a rather large increase in similar numbers every year. You've got an average of around 7,000 vulnerabilities per year. In 08, we had 7,400. 09, we've got a slight drop down to 6,600. And that is due to some very popular vulnerability types such as SQL injection and ActiveX, which are very, very popular with attackers. You can see we also had a dip in 07, so we're on a slight roller coaster ride right now. But it comes down to attackers have plenty of vulnerabilities to leverage. So if they're having a very good success rate and return on what they currently have at their disposal, there's no need to go out and discover new vulnerabilities. So this just goes to show, we can kind of expect around 7,000 vulnerabilities a year. So the key message to your customers, you'll see on slide five, what are you doing to prepare for these types of vulnerabilities? Do you have vulnerability assessment? Are you compensating with intrusion prevention? It's the fact that at this point you know that there's going to be, around 7,000 vulns, so how are you preparing for that each year? Moving to slide six, something that we started in 08 was talking about the economics of exploitation. And you can see here, we're really talking about the fact that it's not just about critical and high vulnerabilities, but many of the vulnerabilities attackers use these days are more of a medium criticality. And ActiveX and SQL injection and web application threats in general are a very good example of this. Attackers realize that, we along with our customers all have firewalls and AV and intrusion prevention, and they're looking for ways to get around those technologies. And much of the IT and security industry have built their processes and their thinking around that classic era of the worm, kind of 2001 to 2005, where you had your slammers and Zotobs, et cetera. But over the last 4 years, we're in a bit of a new era in terms of the threat landscape. And attackers are not only interested in high and critical vulnerabilities, but also medium-level threats as well. And they definitely take into consideration return on these vulnerabilities. If you go to slide 7, you can see we actually try and chart these every trend report showing some real-world vulnerabilities and how likely they are to be exploited in the real world. There have been some extremely high-profile vulnerabilities over the last 2 years related to things like DNS and even TCP, but when it comes right down to it, attackers aren't using them. They are using things like cross-site scripting and ActiveX and Adobe vulnerabilities. And so what we've done here is kind of show you, you know, this is a very good way to predict whether a given vulnerability is going to be leveraged widely by attackers. And what this really does is I think, show credibility on IBM's part, because we're not all about the hype of a given vulnerability or threat. We're really about trying to protect our customers against real-world events. And I think this kind of chart explains how we do that. Moving on to slide 8, we do track the top 10 vendors with the most vulnerability disclosure. This is interesting just to see where the most vulnerabilities are coming from, but it's not necessarily a bad thing to be on this list. Most of you will probably recognize all of these vendors. They're very large. They produce a lot of software, and therefore, the more software you produce, the more likely you are to have vulnerabilities. People write code, and people make mistakes. The important thing here is to really ask yourself, you know, are these vendors following up with patches? And what about the vendors that aren't on this list? Because more than likely, the vendors that aren't on the top 10 list are the vendors with the more questionable patch follow-up. And that's very important. These vendors actually take security very seriously, I would say. Moving on to slide 9, you can see what I'm talking about here in terms of vulnerability and patching follow-up. So you can see over half of the vulnerabilities, 52%, simply don't have patches. And if you go back, you know, in past years, it's really not, you know, the statistic doesn't change much. Again, these vendors aren't the worst. We're about to go into the web application vendors here in a moment, and you can see that it gets much worse when you start talking about web apps. But the patch rate is something to monitor closely. This is something that IBM takes very seriously, and you know, many vendors are beginning to improve on their vulnerability disclosure, communication, and patch follow-up. So that's really what's important, not who has the most vulns, but who are taking those vulns seriously and following up with patches. Moving on to slide 10, we do track most vulnerable operating systems, but this is you know, generally fodder for the debate of, you know, whose OS is the better one, and it honestly, it doesn't particularly matter too much. You know, these don't change drastically too much over time, but it comes down to the fact that most vulnerabilities have moved to the application layer. So this kind of statistic isn't as important in 2010 as it was in, say, 2005-2000. Moving on to slide 11, this is a very important statistic and something to watch year over year as we do this trend report. You can see most of the vulnerabilities are related to gaining access. These are your remote code type execution vulnerabilities. These are the ones that you know, X-Force looks at the most, our customers are worried about. You can see in 08 we had a slight dip in the gain access and a big increase in data manipulation. That was due to SQL injection specifically. And SQL injection, while it's still heavily exploited, the vulnerability disclosure has gone down and gain access has gone back to its previous levels. This is likely to stay very similar year over year. You can see these numbers don't change very much, but something I want to point out, if you look at bypass security, that has had a small increase over the last year. And when we're looking at, you know, the future of vulnerabilities in terms of virtualization, the adoption of cloud computing, this could be an area where there might be more focus, especially if gain access vulnerabilities decrease in some manner. If you're in a virtual or cloud environment, bypassing security might become a more attractive vulnerability type to attackers. Moving on to slide 12, This is definitely going to be one of your go-to slides and examples as to IBM's and X-Force's security effectiveness. What we've done here is we looked at the top vulnerabilities that X-Force tracked in 2009 and looked at our effectiveness rating in terms of being ahead of the threat. You know, did our customers need any kind of security content update? And you can see that on average we're many, many days ahead, and just to be intellectually honest with ourselves and our customers, we did a median average, and you can see 91 days. So the other important thing to look at here is all of the vulnerabilities highlighted in blue, IBM X-Force discovered. So what this is showing to our customers is, you know, maybe they're used to their antivirus, you know, product or their other security products needing constant updates, and them having to build this process and have these change controls dictate their security posture. What we're attempting to provide here is security that does not need constant updates, and if there is a zero-day vulnerability or a threat, they are potentially already covered without needing or requiring that update. So this is a very good real-world example. The scores in the middle where it says base score, that is the CVSS, Common Vulnerability Scoring System score. So our customers can see that these are very important vulnerabilities, and we showed the CVE and the short description of what the vulnerability is on the right. So our customers can see that these are not just, you know, medium level or you know, no-name type vulnerabilities. These are vulnerabilities that they will be familiar with and want to be protected against. So this is an extremely good graphic and PowerPoint chart to share with your customers anytime you're you know, wanting to show them how good we are in terms of security effectiveness. Slide 13, we're kind of coming back to what I mentioned earlier in terms of vulnerabilities and how many of those vulnerabilities are comprised of web application vulnerabilities. You know, I kind of mentioned that era between 01 and 05 is that classic era of the worm, but you can see between 05 and 06, we have this massive increase in web application vulnerabilities, and it has risen ever since. And you can see on the left, literally, you know, almost half of the vulnerabilities in 2009 were web application, and that statistic essentially holds true for the last 4 years. So since 06, you've had roughly 28,000 vulnerabilities, roughly 14,000 of those web applications. So that's very important to highlight to your customers. It's important to highlight that IBM takes this particular problem very seriously. I think we've got a lot of proof points there in terms of acquisitions. You've got Data Power, Internet Security Systems, WatchFire, Guardium. IBM has a very good track record of taking web application security very seriously. You can see in terms of patch follow-up, 67% of the vulnerabilities don't have a patch. So again, that's what makes that virtual patch message that we deliver with our intrusion prevention technology so powerful. Moving to slide 14, you can see really where some of the most vulnerabilities are really disclosed. In previous trend reports, we included this in the top 10 vendor list, and it was so bad we really wanted to separate it out, and it really comes down to web app plugins. So we wanted to point out the fact that it wasn't necessarily vendors like Drupal or Joomla or Typo3 that had the vulnerabilities, but it was the plugins associated with their web applications that were really the nightmare in terms of, you know, vulnerability discovery and disclosure. So, you know, when talking to your customer, if they're using any of these platforms, you just want to make them aware that the plugins are where the most of the vulnerabilities occur, and that will help them get to a point in terms of assessment, either with our rational app scan or with professional services, and really understand their vulnerability posture a bit better when it comes to these web app plugins. Slide 15, we've got some new statistics for this particular trend report. We wanted to look at real-world assessments that had been done by our rational app scan service. And this is fascinating because, you know, X-Force can track vulnerability disclosure, but it is more difficult to really know what's happening, you know, in the real world. And that's where we get so much information from the services side of our business. You can see here we've got some pretty interesting statistics because, you know, most vulnerabilities disclosed are related to SQL injection and cross-site. But you can see in the real world, those have actually dropped in terms of discovery on custom applications. Whereas a lesser-known vulnerability type, such as CSERF, cross-site request forgery, has increased, and that generally has to do with visibility. Most people understand and know what cross-site NoSQL injection is. Most folks are not necessarily aware of CSERF, and it's also a harder vulnerability to exploit. It's interesting that vulnerability type has actually increased. It's especially interesting if you are dealing with financial customers, because that's where that type of vulnerability might be the scariest. Moving on to slide 16, this is the kind of information that our customers really enjoy seeing, because this is a breakdown of web application vulnerabilities by vertical. So if you deal with mainly, government or financial or telco carrier, these kinds of statistics are very nice to show, what they might be seeing in their particular industry. And so this is something we've tried to do more and more in the trend report, but it is difficult because you are dealing with a subset of the real world, which is our customer base. But it is very useful information and something that we are trying to add to more and more in each report. So moving on to slide 17, you've got all these web application threats. I mentioned all of the acquisitions IBM has made, so you definitely have a lot of solutions to talk about with our customers. Certainly, we have a lot of web application protection inside of our intrusion prevention technology. We have assessment with our Rational App Scan, and we also have data power solutions and Tivoli solutions as well. So there's a lot of, I'd say, security solutions inside of IBM that should be able to fit any customer's particular need in terms of web application security. Moving on to slide 18, this is the other side of the web application, the piece that interacts with it, the client side, or in most cases, the web browser. And you can see in the bottom left-hand chart that the browser does make up the majority of the client-side vulnerabilities, so that's why I mentioned that. This is really where you see most of the client-side threat, web browsers and web browser plugins. Moving on to slide 19, we wanted to show you some real-world examples during this presentation to kind of show you, not just statistics and real-world exploitation and just numbers, but what are the tools the attackers are actually using? Because just as we have security solutions, they have very well thought out, developed, really feature-rich applications at their disposal to do this mass exploitation. And this is what makes it so easy in the modern day versus, 5-10 years ago. This is a web browser toolkit called Liberty, and you can see they've even got it broken down by various targets here in terms of which version of Internet Explorer, Opera, Firefox, Chrome. And it really goes to show that the attackers are after market share in return. So, just as we measure those things in the business world, when we talk about attackers' own business process, they measure these exact same things as well. So any one of us can, do a little bit of Googling and look at the market share for any of these browsers or plugins, and that's exactly what attackers track. IE has, say, 66%, Firefox 22%, Chrome 3.5%. So an attacker, can calculate what their return might be on a given market size. Any one of us can, Google or Wikipedia, how many users does Facebook have, or how many people play World of Warcraft. And when you look at something like World of Warcraft with 12 million users, then all of a sudden you have answered the question, why did attackers start to write malware for games? So it's very easy for them to subscribe to the same RSS feeds and news stories that we do, and track the market share that they want to attack. If you move to slide 20, you can really see what the biggest problem in 2009 was in terms of client side. It was really all about the PDF. We've seen lots of vulnerabilities in both Adobe and other readers for PDFs, and that really was one of the worst issues and most exploited types of vulnerabilities in 2009 and moving into 2010. Moving to slide 21, you can really see what we're talking about here in terms of how much exploitation. You can see the top five vulnerabilities here are related to mainly Adobe vulnerabilities. and one Microsoft one here. So it just goes to show that in terms of real-world exploitation, the client is really the most popular target, and Microsoft and Adobe are generally the most popular types of vulnerabilities. So again, it's important to remind the customer it's not necessarily all about the hype that they might be reading about, but the real-world exploitation that is occurring in their environment and across the world every day. Moving to slide 22, this is really the third piece of the problem that is web security in general. You have the web application, you have the web browser, and then you just have the sheer number of malicious URLs and bad content out on the internet. And you can see here, 7.5% of the internet contains unwanted content. About a year ago, that was at 8%. So we're at a kind of a similar area's vulnerabilities, and that might make you think, the internet's not all that bad after all. The issue here is that portion of the internet that is housing malicious content is pushed to all of us on a daily basis via websites that are not malicious and spam. And so that's what the next few slides are going to be about. You can see here that when, ourselves, our customers, when folks use URL filtering to enforce policy, what the trend is over the last 2 years is for users, employees, et cetera, to use anonymous proxies so that they can bypass those filters and still get to the content they want to get to, whether that's, sketchy or dodgy type content or whether that's just, social networking. Anonymous proxies are very, very popular. And so when looking at technology, our customers need to be looking at overall security effectiveness to make sure that they can detect those anonymous proxies being used. So moving on to slide 23. This is extremely important, especially when you're talking about what I just mentioned, security effectiveness. This is a very real problem in both the antivirus and intrusion prevention world. Something that we spend a lot of time tracking, which is one of the reasons why we report on it in this report. But it comes down to, what I mentioned earlier in terms of the attackers looking for ways to bypass security solutions that they know are in place. And so the level of what we call obfuscation, or changing the attacks to bypass security solutions, is very, very high and steadily on the increase. You can see in 2009 it was far, far higher than in 2008. And so this is something that we really focus on with our intrusion prevention technology and something that I would say most of our competitors do very poorly at. And therefore, you need to call in to question security effectiveness and highlight these kinds of statistics is something that IBM follows and is very, very good at. Slide 24. You can see what we were just talking about a moment ago in terms of how much of the internet is malicious. And you can see here malicious web links increase drastically all the time, and in 2009 by 345%. So it comes down to you have vulnerabilities in your web application, the website that you're visiting. You have vulnerabilities in your web browser and your web browser plugins. And then, at the end of the day, the Vegas odds are just against you because there are so many malicious URLs out there. And again, it's not necessarily that you're visiting a questionable website. These types of URLs are housed and pushed to you via spam and completely legitimate websites, either using a web application vulnerability, such as cross-site scripting, or just posting in the comment field on a completely legit site. You go to any news website these days, or any blog or any other social networking site, and you can post your own comments. And you can include a URL in that. And so it's very, very common to see malicious URLs included. I'm sure if any of you are on Facebook, you've seen this kind of thing before. And that's why social networks are so popular with this kind of thing. Moving on to slide 25, you can see exactly what we were just talking about. What kinds of web categories are hosting the most malicious links. So what we're showing here is top website categories that contain just one, which is essentially saying if you're only hosting one malicious link, you probably don't know about it. You're probably not someone that is involved in serving up malware. However, if you look at the next chart where we're showing containing 10 or more malicious links, this is essentially showing that these kinds of sketchy websites are essentially partnered with the folks that house malicious URLs and are hosting malware. So essentially, you know, sites that are housing pornography, gambling, et cetera, are certainly the most high-risk websites and are essentially partnered with the folks that push malware. And again, like I said, these kinds of sites are pushed very regularly via spam and other legitimate sites. So sometimes it's not an issue of you were, you know, browsing the wrong thing. You know, sometimes you get unlucky. Slide 26 is a very good example of this. CubeFace, a social networking malware, was very, very popular in 2009, CubeFace being Facebook backwards. And this is something that's, you know, very easy to be duped by. You know, one of your friends sends you a URL, maybe it looks like YouTube, you click on it, and you get infected with malware. And then, of course, you get this kind of pop-up that says, you know, oh, your PC is infected, you need to install this antivirus, and then they start stealing your credit card, and you're not actually purchasing any antivirus solution, you're actually giving up your information and infecting yourself with more malware. So it comes down to, from a personal standpoint and even an enterprise risk standpoint, that user education is extremely important. And that's what our trend report gets repurposed for quite often. Our customers use it to help educate and build budget up to the, you know, management level. And you can, you know, also they can take this information and also use it for user education across their organization. And we do make the graphics available so that they can easily build their own documents and PowerPoints for such a use. I want to show you another real-world example. If you go to slide 27, this is an extremely popular banking Trojan. I'm sure many of your customers, especially if they're in financial, are well aware of this. Zeus is a very, very successful Trojan that is used to steal banking data, credit card numbers, et cetera. And so, again, this just goes to show you how sophisticated the software that is used on the bad side really is. These kinds of toolkits, malware, et cetera, are many years old, and just as, you know, IBM produces software and enhances that every year, the attackers are doing the same, and their toolkits and software and feature capabilities are getting better and better. Moving on to slide 28. I've mentioned time and time again, it's not necessarily about, you know, looking at bad parts of the internet, but these kinds of things being pushed to you. There's a very popular T-shirt at a lot of the security conferences, especially places like, you know, Black Hat and DEF CON and any of the more security savvy type conferences. There's a T-shirt that says "You can't patch stupid," and, you know, it's a witty thing, and I'm sure it's made somebody incredibly rich, but it, like I said, it's not necessarily about that. Many times you're just unlucky, and these kinds of things are pushed to you via spam or via social networking, and, you know, our customers, users are clicking on them all the time. And I think, you know, there are many recent examples, especially in, you know, this has always been the case in government and financial, where these kinds of attacks can be successful at stealing data. But we've been shown recently that even, you know, private sector, large corporations can be at risk for intellectual property loss by their own users, their own employees, clicking on something and a web browser-related type vulnerability being exploited and information, intellectual property, et cetera, being stolen from their own PC. Spam and phishing is a very effective way to do this. You can see 80% of the spam is URL-based at this point, which means that you receive an email and it's nothing more than a URL. So it's no longer that advertisement or hot stock tip. It's now a URL that may look completely legit that is talking about that same old advertisement or stock tip or, you know, hosting a malicious website. So, you know, they do this because it's a very good way to bypass anti-spam solutions. You can see we do break it down in the report by country and also the types of URLs and websites that are pushed via spam. If you go to slide 29, spam is interesting because it really is one of the fastest moving aspects of the threat landscape. We've seen a lot of different trends come and go. Image-based spam declined in the second half of 2009, and we've seen HTML spam increase. So, you know, it comes down to when attackers, spammers in this case, begin to see a decrease in their return, then they stop using one type of spam and they go to another, and again, they do that to try and bypass anti-spam solutions. Moving on to slide 30, again, you can see here just how advanced the tools are. This particular one, I believe, is, I think, in Russian. And you can see that the software is just like you would expect with any other commercial tool. Very sophisticated, nice GUIs, point and click. It comes down to the fact that you no longer have to go out and buy a bunch of books and learn how to reverse engineer software. Any person can go out and buy or lease, you know, the tools that are needed, customize them for the particular attack type, and start spamming, start building a botnet. And it just goes to show that this really is its own cottage industry at this point, and it really is the bad guys versus the good guys. Slide 31. This is a very important change from the 2009 mid-year report where we saw phishing drop drastically, and you can see that at the chart between January to end of May, phishing, you know, all but disappeared. And then in the second half of 2009, we saw it come right back and actually surpass the levels we saw in 2008. So very interesting, and shows you again that attackers, if they're not seeing a return, will abandon a particular type of attack and work on a new type. This could have been, you know, the fact that banking Trojans were being so successful, could have had something to do with the economy. But the point is, at this point, phishing is extremely popular again, and that means that they're able to make money from it. This only takes into account, keep in mind, public phishing. So if you do a lot with government and financial, those kind of customers see a lot of phishing attacks year-round, and they're spear phishing related, meaning that they're targeted phishing. And more and more, we have now seen that in the private sector as well, for, you know, attacks that are really out to steal intellectual property. Slide 32. You can see here most of the phishing targets, as I just mentioned, are related to financial and government organizations. That is because, you know, those types of organizations simply have a lot of data or information that the attackers are interested in. Certainly in terms of financial, you know, they're after money, government generally after some kind of information. A lot of the information that can be stolen through phishing can certainly be resold or reused by the attackers. And so this is, you know, these are areas that are extremely attractive. Most of the phishing, you can see historically, is generally in North America and Europe. And so we break this down by, you know, different types of phishing, and you can see here most of them are related to financial institutions. You've got credit card, online payment. So this is interesting. It's just kind of phishing is a kind of a reflection of what the attackers are thinking about at any given time. If you go to slide 33, you can see here one more example of a toolkit that the attackers have at their disposal, and these are very, very easy to get a hold of. You can do some simple Googling, and lots of these tools will pop right up. I wouldn't suggest clicking on them. Many of them do have backdoors, and, you know, the attackers will certainly don't have any friends, and will use each other to build botnets as well. But you can see here these are very easy to find. They're very cheap. And many of them are several years of age and very feature-rich. And so it's quite easy. This is why you hear so much about organized crime. It's quite easy for organized crime to get into this kind of business because, again, the tools are readily available. All right, so if we move to slide 34, we've based all of the trend report around the IBM framework, people and identity, data and information, application process, network server, and endpoint. We leave out physical in this case because we don't have any data for that. And then we try and break out each of the solutions across the IBM portfolio for these given problems. All right, so if you're talking to a client about a particular problem area and they ask you, well, what is IBM's solution, you have several different offerings here to then begin talking about. And that's really the magic of this trend report, is building a conversation and bringing credibility in terms of IBM's security prowess to your customers, because they might not be thinking of IBM as a security company, but I think this shows that we indeed are. That's what the framework is all about, and you certainly have a lot of different solutions here to talk about the customers with based on problems that they might be having, that we're showing them proof points in this trend report. So moving to slide 25, you can certainly access the trend report internally and externally. Any of our customers can go to our website and download it. And it's important to point out to our customers that this is just one of the pieces of X-Force information that they can get to freely. We do have our alerts and advisories and our blog, which both of have RSS feeds, and many more pieces of information at xforce.iss.net. The X-Force database is publicly available. We have white papers, again, our alerts and advisories. So there's lots of information that can come out of X-Force that is at any of our customers' disposal. And we also have our X-Force Threat Analysis Service, which is our daily email assessment service that is very, very popular with many of our managed services customers. And so if they're interested in more detailed information that's pushed to them on a daily basis, we do have a service for that. Right, so we do have several resources. Myself, Dan Holden, the X-Force product manager. I mentioned one, Gui McKelvey, our product marketing manager for X-Force, and also Leslie Horacek, our incident response manager. If you have any questions or needs around X-Force or the 2009 trend report, certainly feel free to reach out to us. Thank you very much.